أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وطبيب نفوسنا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم لا سيما بقية الله روحي وأرواح العالمين لمقدمه الفداء الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن عدة الشهور عند الله 12 شهرا في كتاب الله يوم خلق السماوات والأرض منها أربعة حرم ذلك الدين القيم فلا تظلموا فيهن أنفسكم صدق الله العلي العظيم. Respected brothers and sisters, brothers mainly, I don't know if there's any sisters. Assalamu alaikum jami'an wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Only one night apparently other than tonight, including tonight, you can say two nights are left before the month of Rajab. Thank you very much to Muhammad Abbas that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired him to remind us about the month of Rajab and dedicate this session, which is very befitting, just before the month of Rajab of this year, to inshallah speak about the spirituality of month of Rajab, to boost our spirituality and prepare ourselves inshallah for it a little bit. I had already sent an email that Muhammad Abbas kindly has forwarded about this book, Al-Muraqabat of Marhum Jawad, Mirza Jawad Maliki Tabrizi, one of the teachers of Rahmatullah Alayhi Imam Khomeini in Erfan. This book was introduced to me less than 30 years ago, many years ago, by my teacher Ayatollah Hasanzadeh Amulin. And I remember he mentioned, His Eminence mentioned that once he came across this book and he read it, he really realized the sincerity of the author, that every word in that book you read, it really relates to you and is touching your heart, subhanallah. Known as Al-Muraqabat, which is basically about observing the occasions of the Islamic calendar throughout the year. It's so important, inshallah, brothers, especially those who are versed with Arabic language, you can read Arabic, to read this book. I'm not sure if the book is translated in English. You check it. I could quickly find it on the net in Arabic version. Download it, read it, buy it, however, keep it with you. This is the book that if I would dare saying, if you can memorize it, memorize it. Some of the students in Qom, I encourage them to translate it into English so that it not only improves their Arabic language, also they can reflect on it more. By the way, the ayah that I started about is in Surah At-Tawbah, chapter 9, ayah 36, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the number of the months in a year in the eyes of God with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are 12 months from the day that the heavens and the earth are created, the lunar calendar. Lunar calendar is the most natural calendar, and it's the most, perhaps you can say, the only calendar that layman even can find out about it. With a bit of experience looking up in the heaven, in the sky, they can find out whether it's the beginning of the month, end of the month, middle of the month, or which night of the month it is. Whereas the solar calendar, you only need to have literally a calendar and you need an astronomer. By the way, that's one of the reasons that Quran says that's a very natural calendar. Of the 12 months of the calendar Islamic year, in one year, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, four of them, arba'atun minha hurum, four of them are the sacred months. Sacred and holy for the reasons that inshallah we are here tonight to learn a little bit about it. Of those 4 months, include the first one to start with is Rajab, and then 3 consecutive months, Zulqa'dah, Zulhajjah, and Muharram. These are the 4 sacred and holy months in the Islamic calendar. Inshallah, once I introduce you the meaning of Rajab, I will also tell you that why they are holy and sacred. Following that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَا تَظْلِمُوا فِيهِنَّ أَنفُسَكُمْ. Now that these 4 months are sacred, don't wrong yourselves during those 4 months. Of course, never wrong yourselves, but especially when it comes to these 4 months, you are expected to pay more attention to it and give it a special attention. Sacred or holy or hurum, according to the language of the Quran, Shahrul Haram, plural Shahrul Hurum, literally in the time of Jahiliyyah, because these 4 months even were observed by the Arabs of Jahiliyyah as sacred months. During the time of Jahiliyyah, that was the time that they would make a ceasefire and from fighting and wars and things like that. In fact, one of the meanings of, if I want to tell you the term Rajab that we are speaking about entering in the couple of nights, Rajab, literally putting all the religious side of it is aside, Rajab, it means kind of haya. So in Arabic language, if they want to say Rajab, if they say Rajabat al-Mar'a, it means istahiyat, a woman who is shy, reserved before a non-mahram. Arabs, in a very literal sense, say Rajabat al-Mar'a. If you have a boss or someone very dignified that you respect and honor that person immensely, you can say, like they say, Rajabat Sayyida. Yani, this person honored and respected his master, his boss, greatly. And of course, the real Sayyid is the Almighty God. So, Rajab al-Sayyid, you can use this term literally to say that Rajab Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning that he glorified the Almighty God. Alright? This is a very literal sense, meaning to the term Rajab. Rajab, as one of the names of the months in the Islamic calendar, is given for various reasons, according to the narrations that we have. One meaning of Rajab is that Rajab, it means Al-Asam. Asam in Arabic, it means the one who is deaf, cannot hear. The Prophet says that Rajab is called Rajab in the time of Jahiliyyah, this month, the seventh month in the Islamic calendar, because it was the time that Arabs, they would stop fighting each other. So because people could no longer hear the hooves of the horses, or the fighting of the swords, meaning that you could not hear, if you want to translate it in today's language, no longer you would hear the bombarding of the war, there would be a ceasefire. It's just like, because you don't hear anything, it's just like as if you are deaf. Deaf in the sense of hearing the noise of the war. This is one meaning. Of course, the Prophet has used this and elevated this, that the Rajab being a sacred month is the month that the hadith says that Ala inna Rajab shahrullah al-asam la'annahu la yuqaribuhu shahrun min ash-shuhur hurmatan. In the old Islamic calendar, the month of the Islamic calendar, there is absolutely no month, even in comparison to Zilqa'dah, Zilhajjah, and Muharram. If you bring these four together, Rajab is the most holiest one or the most sacred one of even the four, let alone the rest of the months of the calendar. That the Prophet says that even Arabs of Jahiliyyah, كانوا يعظمونه, they used to give it a special respect. Another name for or meaning for Rajab is not Aslam with the meme at the end. Meme at the end is what I told you, that deaf, because you don't hear the noise of the war. Another meaning of Rajab is Al, or another name for it is Al Asab. Alif, Saad, and Ba at the end, not Mim. Asab, it means when something is pouring, when you go on a waterfall, the water is falling down. This is called Asab in Arabic language. The Prophet, using this meaning, he says that Rajab is called Asab, لأن الرحمة على أمتي تصب صبا. Because the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this month is pouring, thoroughly is pouring on my community. So Rajab is also having this meaning. Rajab, according to some riwayat, is also a name for a river in paradise. That the riwayat says, subhanallah, no matter how much we describe it, we cannot understand it until, inshallah, you go and taste it, you experience it yourself. That the Prophet says, Rajab is a river in paradise that is sweeter than honey and whiter than milk. What is that? Inshallah, you'll experience it. The good news is that, inshallah, we are here tonight to prepare ourselves, that the Prophet says that that river will be coming a branch of it to your palace, your dwelling, inshallah, in paradise, on the condition that you are among the Rajabiyun. Who are the Rajabiyun? One of the important characteristics of Rajabiyun mentioned in this riwayat, as inshallah I will touch on it later on, is that Rajabiyun are those who observed the fasting of the month of Rajab. Finally, another meaning that I found for the month of Rajab is that Rajab is Shahru Amir al-Mu'mineen. In other words, is the month of Wilayat. So the sequence is like this, that we call it RSS, Rajab, Sha'ban, Ramadan. R stands for Rajab, which is the month of Wilayat, Shahru Amir al-Mu'mineen, Salamullah alayhi. And hence you have that beautiful, profound Ziyarat Rajabiyya in it, to elevate the state you're on inside about the Wilayat Ahlul Bayt al-Muslim. The second following that is Shahru Ramadan, that the Prophet says, Shahru Sha'ban, that the Prophet says Sha'banu Shahri, and finally Shahrullah, Shahru Ramadan al-Mubarak. So you start from the Wilaya, like the famous dua that during the time of occultation is recommended to say, Allahumma arrifni nafsak fa innaka lam tu'arrifni nafsak. Now you can look at it from this side, that from Wilayat Ahlul Bayt al-Musalam, they will lead you to the Prophet, and the Prophet will lead you to knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are for the names. There is a hadith that you need to take this into consideration and account and believe in it. And that's what I told you, that when you read, part of what I say tonight, part of it is taken from this beautiful book of Al-Muraqabat of Mirza Jawad. Mirza Jawad Maliki Tabrizi, he says, quotes this hadith, that one of the angels who is dedicated and appointed to come down to earth and cry from not tomorrow night, after tomorrow, or maybe tomorrow night will be the first this year. So from tomorrow night after Maghrib, according to this hadith, the angel, his name is Ad-Da'i, the caller, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent him down to earth, will send him down to earth, and he will be crying, أي طوبى للطائعين طوبى للذاكرين. Good news is for those who remember God. Good news for those who worship God. يقول الله تعالى أنا جليس من جالسني. I have a news for you from the Almighty God, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, my house is open, I'm sitting waiting for you. Where are you? I am associating with those who wish to associate with me. I have all the time for you. I'm not like ordinary humans, that few minutes you spend with them, few number of times, and they get bored of you. God says, like as if I have no life other than being with you. It's you when you get bored. Otherwise, I'm always there for you. Especially in the months of Rajab, and especially in the nights of the months of Rajab. Then Marhum Mirza Jawad Maliki Tabrizi, after quote in this hadith, in more than one page he's complaining about people, and then addressing himself, how ignorant, how deaf are we that we don't hear the cry of this angel, and how ignorant we are that we ignore the divine invitation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the nights of the month of Rajab. So this is again something. What we need to do during the month, or from now onward, if I truly believe in the holiness of the month of Rajab, right from tonight, not even waiting for tomorrow, I need to prepare myself. Mirza Jawad Maliki says that, do you see that if you know for sure you've got your ticket that you are going on a journey, let's say you are going on a ziyarah, that inshallah in a couple of weeks I'll be remembering you in the haram of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salam. If we know that we are going on a trip, we prepare ourselves, we pack our bags and everything. He says that now before the month of Rajab is the crescent month of Rajab is observed, prepare yourself, spiritually prepare yourself. Remember that you are going to meet with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you that I'm sitting waiting for you to come. So try to spiritually prepare yourself, not only in terms of some physical rituals, which of course they have to be observed, and it's recommended to be observed as much as possible. But he says that prepare yourself more spiritually, so that you do ibadat al-qalbi and qalbi. meaning that physically you worship God and spiritually you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well, that your heart is with God. Like for example, tomorrow night, and most especially after tomorrow night, Thursday evening, which is, I will talk about it, is Laylatul Raghaib, known as Laylatul Raghaib, is the night that is so recommended for Ihya. Ihya, as you are familiar with it in the month of Ramadan, is staying awake at night. Mirza Jawad says there is no much virtue just to stay awake. It's not that they told you don't sleep on Thursday night, do the Ihya, just for the sake of being awake, that your eyes are awake. حَبَّذَا نَوْمُ الْأَكْيَاسِ وَفَطْرُهُمْ. Lucky those that even if they are asleep, but their eyes, the eyes of their hearts are awake. They have insight, they have ma'rifah, they have basira. So ihya of the body, keeping the body awake and the eyes of your head open, is just a figure of a speech, is just a preparation, because your body is the lowest level of your soul. Is to start from somewhere so that you learn to keep your heart awake, inshallah. How I can keep my heart awake? The very least is to make sure that, and commit yourself in the month of Rajab, you don't commit anything. I have mentioned this before, but for the sake of remembering, inshallah, fadhakir, inna dhikra tanfa'u al-mu'minin, it's good to remember and remind each other. You know how we have double merits? We don't have double merits, we have double demerits in the traffic system in Australia during the long holidays. The system that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in the month of Rajab and other three sacred months, there is a double demerit, meaning that any sin, the punishment will be twofold. But the mercy of God requires also that in these 4 months, any good deed that you do, the reward of it will be twofold or multifold as well. So charity that you give in the month of Rajab carries more weight in your book of action on the day of judgment than other months of the year. Take advantage of that. Fasting and any mustahab actions. So a mu'min is the one who's like, that's why he's calling this book Al-Muraqabat. He's observing, he's vigilant, that in this month of Rajab I have to watch my tongue, I have to watch my ears, I have to watch my eyes and everything. Because on the one hand, I remember that there is a double demerit, like a very vigilant driver that knows there are cameras everywhere. He cannot afford being a maniac driver. And on the other hand, you want to gain rewards of it by doing some mustahabbat and good deed and a'mal. So Marhum Mirza Jawad Maliki says that there are so many, when you open Mafatih al-Janan and the books of dua, such as this Muraqabat itself, you see that subhanAllah, if you take a break from your worldly life and want to dedicate yourself in the month of Rajab to do the A'mal, still you may not have enough time. There are so many rituals and A'mal. I always say that what you read in Mafatih al-Janan and such books of dua are just, it's just like dispensary of medicine. That when you go to a chemist store, it's full of all different medicine. Doesn't mean that you have to take all of them. You need to find your illness, and there's a special cure for it. Mirza Jawad says that instead of just spending time on rituals, reflect and improve the quality of it. Two rakat salat with quality that you offer is more important and more feeding you, benefiting you, than hundreds of rakat of the prayer without any insight, ma'rifat and basira. Another general recommendation in the month of Rajab is that always get any opportunity, especially during the nights. From next Sunday, daylight saving ends, and all of a sudden you will notice that the days are immediately getting much more shorter. Okay? Better opportunity for fasting, better opportunity for spending some night for reflection. Two important issues or afar they recommend out of all rituals in the month of Rajab. One is dhikr, another one is al-fikr. Ya Rabbi, bless us to be able to practice, inshallah. Even if you can spend 15 minutes, I always say that the bare minimum is 15 minutes before the Fajr prayer. If possible, go to the balcony of your apartment, go to your backyard, find somewhere secluded and remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and reflect. And the best that you can do always is that, I know you are young, mashallah, energetic, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prolong your life. You have a lot of opportunities ahead of you. But the fact is that at the end of the day, you do not know when you are going to die. Do you? It can happen any day, any night, any minute. Even if you live a very healthy and you are blessed to live over 100 years, send at night when you wake up, send your mind to 2117. Go 100 years ahead. Definitely, no matter how much you, how healthy you are not going to be alive then. Then ask yourself, I ask myself, Mansoor, where are you going to be? What is going to happen to you? Are you prepared for that eternal journey? An eternal journey, forever. A journey that so many, upon piercing through the curtain of dunya, they say, رَبَّ ارْجِعُونَ لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا فِي مَا تَرَكْ. When you lie down from tonight, tomorrow night in your bed, remember this ayah and say that when you wake up in the morning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, sure, by all means, I gave you another opportunity. Let me see whether this month of Rajab means anything different to you or not. Let me see what you are doing in this month of Rajab. This volume of the month of Rajab is going to come back to you one day in your Alam al-Barzakh, depending on how you treated it. If you gain, the more you gain in the month of Rajab this year, the more you are going to enjoy it, inshallah, in the future. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. One of the A'mal, recommended A'mal in the month of Rajab, that will be this coming Thursday evening, because the riwayat says that the first Laylatul Jumu'ah, the first Thursday evening of the month of Rajab, is known as A'mal Laylatul Raghaib, the worshipping acts during the night of Raghaib. It means wishes, plural form of Raghba, the nights of wishes. What are the nights of wishes? I want to elaborate and give my two cents to this, because recently there have been some messages, posts going around, kind of questioning, criticizing the validity and the authenticity of this narration. So please bear with me and I try to summarize it. Some years ago I had written an article about it. I checked it last night and I tried to summarize it in a simple, without getting into too much technicality about it. In a nutshell, what we know today as A'mal Laylatul Raghaib, to our knowledge, the earliest evidence we have for that is the book of Sayyid ibn Tawus in his book Iqbalul A'mal. I had mentioned this to you before, if you recall, and I repeat it again, that my teacher Ayatollah Hasanzadeh, quoting from his teacher Allama Tabatabai, was saying that Allama Tabatabai, he believed among the scholars of the past, there are three who are Awliyaullahil Kummal. Awliyaullahil Kummal. Friends of God, true friends of God, who reached their perfections. Okay? The first one, Sayyid ibn Tawus, ibn Fahd al-Hilli, and Allama Bahrul Ulum, Sayyid Muhammad Mehdi Bahrul Ulum, Rahmatullah alayhim ajmain. Sayyid ibn Tawus, in his book Iqbalul Amal, who lived almost in the 6th-7th century, you calculate how many centuries before, he had mentioned this hadith without any sanad for it. So technically, as a faqih, you look at the hadith is mursal, meaning that doesn't have the chain of transmitters. Allama Majlisi Rahmatullah Alayhi later on in Bihar al-Anwar quotes the same hadith, but he has taken it from one of the ijazat of Allama al-Hilli Rahmatullah Alayhi. Among the scholars of the past, the only one that I know that was given this title of Al-Allama was Allama Hilli. His name is Yusuf, Sheikh Yusuf. Alright? In the old days, it was common that great scholars, they used to write ijazat for their students. In one of his comprehensive ijazah to Bani Zuhre, one of them is the famous Ibn Zuhr al-Hilli, the scholars, he's a student. He mentions the chain of transmitters that he's had to this hadith and quotes the hadith as well. Alright? So before Sayyid ibn Tawus, we have this from Allama Hilli as well. The challenge is that when you look at the chain of the transmitters of Allama Hilli, Sayyid ibn Tawus doesn't mention his sanad. So it's Mursal. Allama Hilli mentions his sanad, but there are numbers of majahil, meaning that numbers of narrators that we don't know who they are. On the top of that, what makes it more challenging is the one who is narrating from the Prophet, because the hadith doesn't go to the Imams, goes direct to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam apparently. The one who is narrating from the Prophet, his name is Anas ibn Malik. This Anas ibn Malik, apparently he served the Prophet as a servant of the Prophet for almost 10 years, was with the Prophet a lot. Sunni scholars, they respect him a lot. But for the Shia, we don't have much respect because apparently he is the one who denied the hadith of Ghadir during the time, the reign of Imam Ali alayhi salam. And Imam Ali cursed him and he suffered from leprosy until he died in Basra. Alright? So the narrator also is very problematic, someone like Anas ibn Malik. Having these in together, recently there are some that they are promoting this, that the amal of Laylatul Raghaib is fake, there is no sanad for it, the narrator is someone like Anas ibn Malik, who, was against Imam Ali and denied Hadith al-Ghadir, even though he was an eyewitness to that. How can you rely? And this is a bid'ah, this is innovation. Once they say bid'ah, it's a little bit alarming. Not that we don't believe in bid'ah, of course we do. But the moment that they say bid'ah, it's a little bit alarming, that requires a little bit more investigation. Let me just support their claim a little bit more, although they usually don't say that, but I help them with a bit of more evidence. There is also a hadith from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam that Shaykh al-Saduq rahmatullah alayhi in the book of Al-Khisal, he has narrated from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. Imam Sadiq is quoted to have said that there were three at the time of the Prophet that kanu yakdhibuna ala Rasulullah. They used to fabricate a hadith and relating it to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of them is this Anas ibn Malik, another one Abu Hurairah, and the third one a woman. Now, in support of them, we say that not only Anas ibn Malik was against the wilayat of Amir al-Mu'mineen and denied Hadith al-Ghadir, he is also, according to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, a fabricator. Therefore, it is well possible that this hadith is fabricated by Anas ibn Malik. Therefore, this is a bid'ah. The Prophet had never said that, never done this. When you ask the Sunni scholars from the time of Ibn Taymiyyah until Ibn Baz of the our time, Sunni scholars, majority of them, or the famous ones, they say that because they also have this hadith Laylatul Raghaib, they say this is a fabrication and therefore this is a bid'ah and it's haram. They take it further and they say that in the month of Rajab we don't have anything special. Yes, it's a sacred month, but all these supplications, the dua, things that you say, they are all bid'ah and innovation, and we don't have them. One of them is Laylat. There is no such thing as Laylatul Raghaib, and the Prophet never offered this prayer. When we come to the Shia world, we want to analyze it. Inshallah, if you help me with the salawat to refresh my breath, we'll do a little bit of massage and exercise on the hadith and the understanding of the hadith. As I told you that I'm not going to go through too much technicality of it. Those of you who have done a course on Naqd al-Hadith, the critics of the Hadith, or remember introduction to science of Hadith, some of this has been discussed there, but in a nutshell, just in a point form. First of all, you need to remember always, not necessarily because a Hadith is Mursal, or the sanad or the narrators are not authentic, we have the right to chuck the hadith against the wall and ignore the hadith. One of the very unprofessional and superficial approach of people who do a little bit of ilm al-rijal is that because they have done a bit of ilm al-rijal and know the biography of some of the narrators, and they see that this narrator is weak, says, no, don't worry about this hadith, don't worry about this hadith. That is not true. That is very unprofessional. I tell you that there are numbers of ahadith in the most reliable book of hadith that we have known as Al-Kafi, that technically speaking these ahadith are weak, meaning that the narrators are either unknown or weak, or they are Sunnis. Yet our scholars have given fatwa to them, in fact that they are so particular. So just necessarily because the hadith, the standard of the hadith is weak, doesn't mean that we ignore the hadith. The body of the hadith, the text of the hadith plays a big role in taking or rejecting it. On the other hand, opposite to this, not necessarily because the chain of the transmitters of a hadith are all good, reliable people, we should take a hadith and act upon it. How many, again, ahadith that we have that the sanad is sahih, undoubtedly. The narrators are all Shia, reliable, supposedly authentic people. But no marja, no faqih has given fatwa to the body of the hadith. Why? Because the text of the hadith plays a big role, whether it's contrary to other Islamic principles or not. In fact, they say that when you see, come across a hadith that the sanad is very good, but no faqih has given fatwa to it, the more authentic the sanad is, the more problematic it is, because that shows that impossible that great scholars like Shaykh Mufid, Shaykh Tusi, Allama Hilli, impossible they had not seen this hadith. And if they have seen it, then how come that they, none of them, they gave fatwa to it? There must be a problem. Because fabrication is not just about the body of the hadith. What is more dangerous and had happened in the past, often fabricating names, using, abusing famous names. It's just like using the name of a marja, and who, that marja had never said that. But once you look at the name of His Eminence Ayatollah, wow, Ayatollah Sistani, okay, I take it for granted. One of the tricks of the fabricators in the past was this, to fabricate a hadith relating it to famous narrators so that nobody doubts the authenticity of it. Alright, I'm just touching on this so that you know it is not enough to check the names of the narrators, whether they are reliable or they are not reliable. This is one. Another thing is that if we say that this hadith, the narrators are weak, or one of them even not supportive of Walad Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, and therefore, or according to Sayyid ibn Tawus, even Mursal doesn't have any sanad. If this is a justified excuse to dismiss this hadith and A'mal Laylatul Raghaib, I tell you, you have to read between the lines where they are heading. If that's a valid excuse, then that famous dua that from tomorrow night after Maghrib Isha prayer and after morning prayer is recommended to read, Ya man arjuhu likul khair wa amanu sakhatahu inda kulli shar, to the rest of it. Most of the dua supplications that we have for the month of Rajab, even as during the tafsir of dua Kumail I mentioned, the dua Kumail and so many supplications, we have to dismiss them one after the other, one after the other, and you will be left with an Islam that is nothing in it. In fact, when it comes to, if you want to go with this principle, then confidently I tell you that at least 90% of mustahabbat that you have heard of in Islam, makruhat that you have heard of Islam, you have to dismiss them. Because most of the mustahabbat, sunan, adab, narrations on ethical issues that we have, on moral values that we have, absolute majority of them, they are either in the books that are mursal. Take for example the book of Tuhaful Uqul, Ibn Shubh al-Harrani. Such a brilliant book that Imam Khomeini says the text of the hadith of this book are the sanad for this for every hadith. Yet they are all mursal. There is no sanad for them. So if you want to go with this approach to understand Islam, my friend, you're going to end up like those that they say, Hasbuna Kitabullah. This is not Islam that you can practice and we are supposed to practice. So why is it that when it comes to mustahabbat, like A'mal Laylatul Raghaib, Sayyid ibn Tawus doesn't give any sanad? or the sanad that Allama Hilli mentions. Allama Hilli is such an eminent scholar, Sayyid Ibn Tawus as well. With all respect to these people who will distribute such things, I want to tell you that we cannot be even a small finger of those great scholars. Doesn't Allama Hilli know that the sanad that he is mentioning is not authentic? Doesn't Allama Hilli know about Anas ibn Malik? Surely he does more than you and I, with all respect, by far more. But yet, why does he mention that in his ijazat? Because Allama Hilli looks at the body of the hadith more than the sanad of the hadith. Allama Hilli is a professional. He knows what to quote, what not to quote. He will not be fooled by the sanad of the hadith either way. Okay, for mustahabbat, the principle has been always like this in the past, that when it comes to mustahabbat, as long as we don't have anything against it, as long as it does not stand against the principles of Islam, mustahabbat, especially an eminent scholar like Mirza Jawad, he said, my friend, what is A'mal Laylatul Raghaib? The essence of it is that 11 rakat salat. Didn't the Prophet said to Abu Dharr, Shi'i and Sunni have narrated this, As-salatu khayru mawdu'in, faman sha'a aqal wa man sha'a akthar. The best worshipping act is salat. The more you want to do it, the better. You cannot do it, do less reward for you. He says, such an important month of the month of Rajab. Okay, if A'mal Laylatul Raghaib is not authentic and it's an innovation, what am I supposed to do? Go to bed. Surf on the web. What else are you gonna do? For me, Mirza Jawad says that for me, I do A'mal Laylatul Raghaib. I observe this mustahabbat of the month of Rajab based on qa'idat adillat tasamuh fi adillat sunan. Qa'idat at tasamuh fi adillat sunan. In introduction to the science of hadith, we touched when introduced this principle. Among the scholars of the past, almost they were all unanimous that when you come across a hadith, that the sanad of the hadith is not authentic, apparently good, but the text is telling you something that is very good and rewarding, like this A'mal Laylatul Raghaib, a good action to do, do certain salat and prayers. Even if, hypothetically speaking, the Prophet had not said it, then still you get the reward of it. For the good intention that you have done, because as long as remember, it's not contrary to any other principle, any other hadith. Coming back to the sanad of the hadith, to give it a little bit of massage. I remember I told that Sheikh Saduq narrated from Imam Sadr that the Imam says that there were three fabricators at the time of the Prophet, Abu Hurairah, Anas ibn Malik, and that woman. The funny thing is that you cannot rely on this hadith, with all respect, on your own principle. If you only take an authentic hadith, this hadith also doesn't have an authentic sanad. What goes around comes around. If that's the principle, you have to stick to it everywhere. There are numbers of majahil and unknown people in the sanad of this hadith as well. Therefore, you cannot rely on this hadith to use it against me. Anas ibn Malik, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that we are in favor of Anas ibn Malik. No, he is wrong in what he did, definitely, no question about that. But the thing is that in ilm al-rijal, ilm al-diraya, we have ahadith that our fuqaha, they have given fatwa. When I tell you fatwa, that means our fuqaha in fiqh, they are so particular. Like, for example, Ayatollah Khoui Rahmatullah Alayhi, he was so particular in the sanad of the hadith. Yet, whether Ayatollah Khoui or other than Ayatollah Khoui, all our fuqaha, they have given fatwa to so many riwayat that the narrator is Sunni. There is no question that the narrator is Sunni. Yet they say, although he's Sunni, and in terms of his aqidah, he's wrong, but he's not a liar. And because this hadith does not stand against other ahadith that we have, we accept it, we give fatwa to it. They call such ahadith muwathaqe sama'i, for example. Okay? And so forth. So even if the person like Anas ibn Malik, in terms of his aqidah in Imam, is wrong, he could have correctly narrated something years before the story of Ghadir Khum, observing something from the Prophet and narrated it.
at least the possibility of that narration being there as a practice of the Prophet is there, that possibility is enough for me today to do this salat. And there is no, this salat is not contrary to any of the Islamic principles at all. It's just a mustahab act. There's nothing wrong with that. I have no right to reject you and say this is a bid'ah. In fact, once they say bid'ah, I smell the creeping of the Wahhabis in it, that they are starting with this, because later on you have to read between the lines. They want to see where they want to head. Time will come, I bet you, such people bit by bit they become Wahhabi Shia. We don't believe in Ziyarat Ashura, we don't believe in the Aqamah, we don't believe. What do you believe then in? Nothing. You'll be left with nothing, absolutely. We need to approach it more professional. One more comment I need to make, inshallah, here, and that is, they quote from Ayatollah Sistani that we ask Ayatollah Sistani, Hafizahullah, and Ayatollah Sistani on this, about this Amal Laylatul Raghaib. He said that we cannot say this is mustahab. It's istihbab, lam yasbud indana. Let me explain what Ayatollah Sistani and many other maraji before Ayatollah Sistani, Imam Khomeini Rahmatullah Alayhi had said this as well. And the famous opinion, the famous opinion of our current maraji, unlike the scholars of the past, when it comes to the principle of at-tasamuh fi adillat as-sunan, that we are lenient when it comes to mustahabbat, is this very simplified technical discussion, that they say we are not convinced that such narrations prove istihbab of an action. Because in as much as for wajib or haram you need a concrete evidence, for istihbab and karaha also you need a concrete evidence. And such narrations, they do not give us concrete evidence. Therefore, we are not sure if this action is mustahab as a technical term using and giving the label of istihbab to it. Because istihbab is also hukm shar'i. In the past, Muhaddis Bahrani also has had this kind of attitude as well, or this kind of belief. But at the same time, they say, yet that does not mean ignore these riwayat. Act upon them, raja matlubiyya, with the hope that inshallah I meet my obligation, if there is any goodness in it, inshallah I don't want to miss out. So the issue is about technicality of it, how to approach it, not about neither Ayatollah Sistani nor any other maraji that I know of, they have ever said that Amal Laylatul Raghaib is bid'ah. None of them, they say, is innovation. No, it's a technical discussion. They say we don't call it mustahab, we call it do it with rajal maqlubiyya. If you go to Minhaj al-Salihin or any of the Risale of Ayatollah Sistani, in the first section that he's speaking about the rules of taqlid, I think the last or towards the last issue is he's bringing this issue that the principle of tasamuh fi adillat as-sunan, I'm not convinced about it. Therefore, at the same time, you see that even Ayatollah Sistani, throughout his Risale Amaliyyah, he mentions almost mustahabbat that our fuqaha they mention. If you want to discuss it this further, go to the Sunan al-Wudu, mustahabbat of the wudu, and you see that our scholars have thoroughly discussed this issue over there. Ayatollah Sistani also mentions so many mustahabbat in his Risale Amaliyyah. I tell you 90% at least, I want to be safe, otherwise I would give more percentage. At least 90% of these mustahabbat that Ayatollah Sistani mentions in his Risale Amaliyyah, that is between him and God on the Day of Judgment, are based on the weak narrations, or narrations that are mursal. Then how come that Ayatollah Sistani mentions, although he doesn't believe in the principle of tasamuh fi adillat as-sunan, he says, he explains in the beginning of his Risale, yes, although I don't believe in that principle, but still do it with rajal maqlubiyya, that with the hope that it's something that is good to do it, and therefore don't, so that you don't miss out. About the fasting of the months of Rajab and other Amal, I had a lot to mention, but really it's already getting very late. So allow me to stop here. I'll leave the rest if there is any questions or comments. Sallu ala Muhammad.